This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is always football season, so why not talk a little football? Excuse me, as awful as I sound. Pete, as we look ahead to free agency, to the draft coming up, when you look at your top five list of what the Vikings need, give me maybe your top three, or if you want to go top five, and how do you address them if you can?
Well, and that's going to be the tough part, Dave. Here's an interesting stat for you that I was talking with a really good friend of mine who does a lot of NFL scouting for a living. He was telling me, he goes, Pete, he goes, you know, in a very, very short period of time, we have gone from being one of the youngest teams in the NFL to the oldest team in the NFL. So that's not a good sign, right?
Yeah.
Especially when we've got two draft picks this year. We got a first, well, three. We have a first rounder and two in the fifth round. Yeah. So what are we going to do with those picks? How are we going to move things around? Are we going to franchise or tag Sam just so he can get something for him when somebody comes knocking on the door? I don't think that's the stupidest thing in the world to do. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably something that we should at least consider.
Really?
Well, because if you give him the tag, right, now all of a sudden you get something for him. Somebody who's maybe it's the Raiders, maybe it's whoever, and they still look at him and say, hey, we want Sam, we'll take Sam, and then maybe there's some numbers that can come across to get something else in the draft, right? Because two fifth rounders, I mean, let's be honest, how many of those guys?
That's nothing.
And how well have we drafted even so? You know, you and I have talked about this a lot, but
in the later rounds, not great.
Yeah. You know, even some of the early rounds, and it's not always the fault of the team or whatever, but we've just not had very good luck with a lot of the drafting that we've done. So, you know, here's an interesting one for you. What if you decided to do something about Cousins at this point in time? Because money's not going to be the issue. That's going to be on Atlanta still. So, it sounds crazy, but it's a possibility of something that could still happen.
Yeah, yeah. You think he comes back here?
I'm not saying that he will or the Vikings want to do that, but I'm just saying that is an option that is still out there. But to your point, Dave, outside of quarterback, I mean, we've got JJ. We just got to make sure JJ is healthy and big enough and strong enough to be able to get into an NFL season. And I think that he's, on his way. Although you don't hear a lot of huge positive things coming out of what his rehabilitation has been with his injury or whatever. So that's something that I think that only the Vikings know enough about that situation that we don't know. But what do we need? We need running backs. We need a guard or two. We need safeties. I'm looking at who we have on the free agency side. You've got Harrison Smith, Cam Bynum. You've got Byron Murphy. I mean, we're talking about a lot of guys there in the secondary. Cam Robinson is probably going to get cut, would be my guess. I'm not sure. He's a free agent. But, on the other side, you even got Stephon Gilmore, right? So I don't know. Aaron Jones, Cam Akers, Shaq Griffin. There's a lot of defensive players that are going to be free agents. And some of them, I think, are good enough, big enough players that they will get offered money that will have them leaving the Vikings probably. So
I think you have to re-sign. To me, if there's one guy you bring back this year, to me it's Aaron Jones. He's the top of my list. Because as we've seen, if you can't get a running game going, you can't get a passing game going.
Right. Yep. And that's always been true, and it's just funny that the Vikings haven't really embraced that, I don't think, as much. But I think you're exactly right. Yeah. Aaron Jones was great for the Vikings. Could we find somebody similar, in the draft? It really comes down to this, Dave. What do the Vikings take in the first round? That will be – it's number 24. what will they go for, number one? I mean, are they going to go for a guard there? I don't know that they do or not. Do they go for a safety there? Probably not a running back, because the one really good thing is, and maybe they can package something up, maybe a trade and a couple of those fifth-round picks or whatever, to get a running back. This is a really deep running back draft this year. I read in one of the articles that I was looking at, over 30 running backs expected to be potentially drafted. So there's a lot of running backs out there. Not all of them are at the highest level, but, you know, you've got Caleb Johnson down there at Iowa, who's been outstanding. Travion Henderson. You've got Junkins from Ohio State. They've got two guys. So there's a lot of running backs out there, and I have always thought this. Running backs are a key to the offense. They open up the passing game for the quarterback. We've seen it with Aaron Jones, but maybe
Ask
Aaron
the
Jones.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. That was all they were missing, really. They already had the O-line, the D-line, and the quarterback, but once they got that running back, wow, just look at what they did. You know, there's not a lot of Saquons out there, but there are some that are not that far off of who he is either that I think could make a big difference for the Vikings.
By the way, we should take a moment to call out that you pretty much nailed the Super Bowl when you talked about it last week, because we were all like, oh, it's going to be the Chiefs. Like, Philly's going to control the line of scrimmage, and they got a better running game. I think it goes to Philly, and I believe you even said it wasn't going to be close, didn't you?
I think I thought it was 34-20.
Yeah. So, it was a little farther away, but you nailed it, and we were so wrong.
Well, you know, it's hard not to get caught up in the whole Pat Mahomes thing, though, right? I mean, and you know, I think that was part of this whole thing. Thank you for saying that. It's really nice. But, you know, but when I look at this, and I've stood by this, and, you know, there's going back about 3 or 4 years ago, Mike Max and I were standing here in CCO, and we were analyzing the draft during the draft. And one of the things that we talked about when we did that was, I wanted the Vikings to get the big defensive lineman out of Georgia, and that I wanted a linebacker out of Georgia. And we weren't doing that. We were going a different direction. And meanwhile, Philadelphia was doing what they've done to build this team up. They were building it up from the offensive line to the defensive line to the linebackers, and then going for the quarterbacks and the positions. But I think that's how you build it, Dave. I think you've got to build it before you go for your quarterback. You've got to have somebody who can protect your quarterback. And that's something that the Vikings and a lot of general managers have done a very poor job at, is trying to win right away by getting a quarterback. Well, if you don't have an offensive line, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You know, you've got to have somebody out there protecting them, and then give them some of the weapons that they need and all the rest of it.
Well, and it's interesting because it's not the sexy pick, and Rick Spielman used to say that all the time. He's like, nobody likes when we draft a lineman in the first round, which, I get it. But it's the smarter play, and if you're going to build a team and you're going to have a young quarterback, you absolutely have to make sure that he's protected. Now, all that being said, though, and I wonder what your thought is on this, I feel like you can probably get better if you look at a late-round pick. You have a better chance of hitting on an offensive lineman in that slot than you would a defensive back. Do you agree?
That's a great question, and I think I do agree with that. I think there are enough out there that you have a better chance. But, you know, why I think that you have to go higher and higher and higher when you make these picks. Look at what, for instance, and I talk about him all the time now, and I used to have such an issue with it, but Jim Harbaugh. And what he's been able to do. His brother, of course, is unbelievable with what he's done drafting and all the rest of it. But when you take a look at the Chargers, and what was the first thing that Jim Harbaugh did when he took over, and all of a sudden he was in charge of the draft and everything else, he decides, you know what, let's see, in the fifth pick in the draft, I'm going to take Joe Alt from Notre Dame, and I'm going to put him on the other side of an already great left tackle in Slater. And all of a sudden, you've got Justin Herbert out there being able to throw the ball around, because he's got guys that are going to keep him from getting sacked. I mean, these are the pieces of the puzzle that you've got to have. And I think that when you look at the offensive line, it's not the sexy pick. It's not the most exciting thing in the world for people, because they haven't heard the names. But if you do it the right way, it really can build the franchise in an amazingly in a faster way than just trying to go with all these, well, I got to get this wide receiver, I've got to get this running back. Well, none of that means a whole lot if you don't have an offensive line.
What do you think is on the Vikings' wish list this offseason? Let us know. The WCCO Talk and Text line, 651-461-9226. You can call, you can text. If you're listening on the audio app, Odyssey app, excuse me, you can hit that button and we'll put you on the air. You probably sound better than I do. Into the text line, why wouldn't the Vikings grab another Packers hand-me-down QB? Nope. No,
it's,
thanks.
It's probably not going to happen. That one I'm going to say is not going to happen.
No, enough of that.
You know what I think is going to happen?
All right, we'll take
what?
What do you think is going
to
happen, Josh?
I think, and I even have a little sounder to play here to go along with this.
Oh, God. Oh, well done, man.
I think the Vikings trade back to round three to get the two Patriots picks.
Huh.
Because you need a cornerback, and yep, you need a running back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll be able to easily find a mid-level cornerback and a running back in round three. I know it's not
what are you
like
you
guys. Like it's, what's that?
Are you just swapping picks?
Yep. Give them the first round pick because Lord knows they need a couple. And I promise they'd be able to offer up some cash, too, to go along with that.
Yeah, they probably would.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know if I want to trade down, man.
Okay, that is like water being wet. The Vikings trade down all the time.
Yes, but that doesn't make it right.
The fifth round. Yeah, well, if you trade down out of the first round, you get a three, but your next pick isn't until the fifth. You got to keep your first round
pick. It's just speculation, Dave. Calm down.
I'm very calm. I just sound like I'm out of my head. I sound like I've been screaming.
Sound like you've been yelling about the draft for a few days.
I have not, I promise. But we can yell about some crazy headlines in sports from this week. I'm going to give you those next for you guys to react to. We'll do the headlines coming up next. Look at that news music. I love it. Time for the headlines, gentlemen. I've got a couple really good ones here for you. Let's start with the NBA All-Star game. G-Leaguer Mac McClung wins the dunk contest. He jumped over a car. Literally over the car. But I ask you this. Is it fair, because this is the NBA All-Star Weekend, should a G-Leaguer be allowed in the dunk competition?
I think it makes sense, Dave. The NBA can take anything that they can find to get a better rating or whatever. I think that they got to grab onto that. And let's be honest, the G-League is the offshoot of these guys. So I think it's a participation thing. And this kid has been amazing. So I think it's smart. And I don't oftentimes think that the NBA does a lot of smart things. But I think in this case, it's a very smart move to have him in there. And you know what? It's a recreation of that whole thing with Blake Griffin from years ago, right? When he did that same thing. He jumped some kind of a car.
He jumped over the hood, though. McClung jumped over the entire car, like jumped over the height of the car.
It was a... that kid, I don't know what he's got, but his legs are unbelievable. His head was right at the rim when he jammed this thing down. That was awesome. The dunk competition, I think, is great.
It's nice. I wish they had some better stars in it. But
and that was kind of to my point, too, is you're bringing in Mac McClung, who's a G League guy, who's basically outdoing the people that are getting paid the millions and millions of dollars to do just this. Because apparently everybody's afraid to dunk anymore. We don't have the Zach LaVine versus Aaron Gordon of previous years, which is still one of the best dunk showdowns ever that we've seen in NBA All-Star Game history.
Which one?
Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine. Former tip when he was with the Wolves.
Jordan and Dominique Wilkins are on line one for you.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
That was a great.
But I'm not 80 like you guys are, so I don't remember that year.
You know, he throws those shots out, Dave.
Because he knows he's wrong. That's all he can do.
No, I haven't put my colostomy bag in yet.
Good Lord.
It's almost. If I was an NBA player, I'd almost be embarrassed by the fact that this kid's just swooping in and kind of still. I mean. They are kind of soaking in, so I'm assuming they're not embarrassed. They're kind of going along with it. But come on, be better, NBA. You have the star power to compete with somebody like this, a G Leaguer. Give us, like Dave said, give us some better people to compete in the NBA dunk contest, because Otherwise, it's Mac McClung for the next 20 years, and the guy's just going to keep making money for making
Donuts. He's got the three-peat. He's got the three-peat.
Yeah, he's going to keep doing it until you guys stop him. So
again, you can't have it both ways. You can have Canada-US in the midseason and have a brawl, or you could have Mac McClung winning the dunk contest.
We need more malice in the palace in the NBA. Let's get some fights going.
Come on now. We do not need that.
We need more Ron Artest in the game. Yes.
The views of Josh Wheeler are not the express views of this show.
Yeah, copyright that. No, I love it, though. I love the NBA All-Star Game because it's kind of in the middle. It's not the worst. It's not the best. But it's right there in the middle when it comes to the professional sports teams, because I think the Pro Bowl is under. There's NBA and some of these other big league teams, 10 million miles worth of crap. And then there's the Pro Bowl underneath that. That's how terrible the Pro Bowl weekend is.
Yeah, awful. I agree.
It's awful. Okay, gentlemen. After months of trash talk, Olympic gold medal sprinter Noah Lyles and Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill have agreed to race and find out which one is the faster man. How excited are you for this race?
What a great argument that they got into, right? I mean, didn't it all start off in social media of some sort where, Tyreek's like, hey, forget this guy, I'm faster than him. And they started going back and forth and back and forth. I think it would be a lot of fun. I say that as a track guy, though. I'm also a guy who always watches the combine every year. I think it's ridiculous how much the general managers overview what happens down there. I mean, everything is exaggerated. If you can play football and you can run fast, great. But if you didn't like what you saw on the tape, but suddenly a guy runs a 4.340 and you expected him to run a 4.5, I don't think that makes him any better of a football player. So, I think the combine's a really interesting thing when it comes down to that and which players are rising and which ones are dropping and all the rest of it. But I'll tell you what, I think this is a great feud between two guys, and I think it's legit. I don't know that these guys planned this or went out saying, hey, this is something that's going to be TV worthy, that we got to do this and that. I mean, maybe they have, but to some degree,
I'm sure they'll make money off it.
Oh, they're going to make some money. Oh, they're going to get paid good money, because this is something where, obviously if you're Tyreek, you haven't been doing that as much nearly as Lyle says. It's going to be fun. I think it'll be great.
That's the tough part. I mean, Tyreek may be fast, but the last time he ran track and field was high school and college. Mm-hmm. I think it says here he ran a 9.98 meter, won the bronze medal in the 200 meters at the World Junior Championships in 2012.
Yeah, that's going back a ways.
Pretty big difference to trying to take on the reigning Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not just a guy in the Olympics. He's a gold medalist in the Olympics. Yeah. So he is amazing. Tyreek is amazing. His speed is incredible. I mean, we all know that. But, I think these track guys are oftentimes that are true track guys, that's a different level. And especially when you're talking about age and everything else, there's a lot of factors that go into this one. And you hope that neither one of them, particularly Tyreek, you don't need anybody to get injured doing this either. That would be bad.
That'd be my fear, is he's going to tear a hamstring.
Right.
Josh, you have anything to say on this?
I think that Pete and myself should do a run at the fair this coming summer.
I'm in.
And we should put it on digital. We're making so many great
How
ideas
come I don't
for the
get
people
to be involved. I'll race you.
Because you're going to have a sore throat again. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to get hurt.
That's good. Take a cheap shot at a guy who's sick. That's nice.
That's my job.
Our last one for you guys. Colorado safety Shiloh Sanders, not among the 329 players invited to the NFL scouting combine. Mm-hmm. His brother Shadur is expected to be a top pick in the NFL draft. Do you care that Shiloh Sanders will not be at the combine?
I don't, and I see Josh he's using his head now, going back and forth. He doesn't either. It's the one thing that you feel a little bit bad about, but I don't feel all that bad. But his brother gets so much attention, and deservedly so. I mean, he's a quarterback who's had accomplishments that are big. I mean, he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks. He's not going to be the first, but he'll probably be the second quarterback taken. And a lot of people think the world of him. But Shiloh, on the other side, You know, that's got to be tough. I grew up in a family with three older brothers, and to go competitively against those guys in whatever,
yeah,
everything becomes a competition within the house, right? And I think that's one of the things that this looks like to me. I can't believe he can't just get an invite at least. That part does surprise
me. Well, Dion wants to do it at his house.
Of course.
You know, Dion wants to do like their own pro day. I'm sure that they'll try to make money off it.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be on ESPN. They're going to get a lot of money for it, and it'll be all in Colorado.
They will. All right, let's take a break. Ben Johnson, Gopher men's basketball coach, is going to join us around the corner. We'll talk about the big win last night and his thoughts on the season so far. Big win for the Gopher men's basketball team last night over USC. Head coach Ben Johnson, nice enough to give us a little bit of time this morning on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Coach, good morning. Congratulations on the win. And I'm curious, as you watched your team go throughout this game and watched them grow in this game, how impressed were you with their resiliency you really had to fight all the way down to the end in this one.
Yeah, no, we really did. I was really impressed, you know, honestly, with their both mental and physical toughness. That's something we've been preaching all year as, you know, something we need as a program and as a team to be competitive in these games and kind of impose our will with our toughness. And I thought the guys did an incredible job of just never folding, never breaking, keeping believing even down 15 or, you know, in our first half struggles and their just physical toughness to almost will ourselves to victory, and then the mental toughness to believe it and to never cave was really impressive.
Ben, I got to tell you, I still wish you would have gone to Washburn instead of De La Salle, but that's for another time. So that being, I'm a city guy, man. I mean, that's I went to Central, yeah. So you know, I would love to have had you in the city.
I got you.
But as far as this game, and Dave was just talking about this, Patterson caught fire, but how about Frank Mitchell? What we haven't seen him at the level that he played, and he literally just ramped it up with rebounds and with the point scoring and the offensive side of what he was able to do. What was it about this game against USC that gave him that opportunity?
You know, it's a great point. You know, Frank has done an unbelievable job this last month of really kind of flipping his narrative a little bit in terms of just his attention to detail. He's taken it to another level, and whether that's extra workouts, extra conditioning, extra film, laser focus and walkthroughs and practice. And we just talk a lot about there's always carryover, and it's such a big part of success is developing those habits and what it takes to put yourself in position to be successful when your number's called. And I think he's just done an incredible job now of understanding fully, you know, what it takes at this level to be at your best, and everything goes into that. And, you know, I knew he was going to play well. I didn't know how well, but I knew he was going to play well because he was so dialed in this whole week, and as much of our guys were, but him especially was so dialed in this week, and he took that focus to another level, and it just carried over. And, you know, that's the Frank that we knew he could become. We didn't know when. You know, sometimes it takes transfers, you know, there's a different timetable for everybody, but hopefully now that he's got a taste of it, he can take it and hold on to it and keep building off of it.
Ben Johnson joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Coach, when you look at the depth of this team, and you talked a little bit about it, some nights it's Dawson Garcia, some nights it's Patterson, last night it's Frank Mitchell. When you have that depth of someone can always pick up the rest of the team, how beneficial is it to have that in a season that it's a long season? You know, it can't be the same guy every night, can it?
Yeah. No, and that is not the way that we're built. You know, obviously Dawson is a major part of what we do, and, you know, leading scorer in the league. Well, because of that, teams are going to really take account for him. And, you know, yesterday I thought they did a great job of whether it was double-teaming him, triple-teaming him, packing the team. Well, when teams do that and they really try to devote all their attention and take him away, then other guys do have to step up. And when other guys step up, it opens the floor not only for them, but also for Dawson. They can't just key in on him. So the production that we get from everybody is crucial to not only, in particular game, but just to the development of our team and where we want to go with this. And I think now guys are really responding and kind of finding their way through all of that.
Ben, I'm curious about this with this whole thing and how the Big Ten has expanded, and obviously it's not more than it's a lot more than 10 out there, and we've got these West Coast trips. How is the West Coast trip for you guys? You've got USC, and you obviously had a great game in the second half, came back, and a great victory, but now you've got UCLA. Is that really difficult on the players, all the travel going out west and then coming back?
You know, for us, so far it's been okay. I think what you worry about is just kind of the time change a little bit and making sure that the second and third day guys are rested and their body clocks are right. You know, it's yet to be seen. You know, I think, it's the one on the way back that probably concerns you most as a coach is, you know, having that fatigue and then you come back and you have a home game. It's so hard to win on the road. You really want to rely on those home games. So it's just managing that a little bit. But, you know, like I said, that these guys are young. They're resilient. We only got to do it one time, which I'm very thankful for. So you just kind of try to figure it out as you go. But I do think the key is getting these guys' body clock as normal as possible and just making sure that they're doing everything they can do to get rest.
And you're at UCLA on Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Central Time. So tough, quick turnaround there. Coach, you look at the rest of the season and your schedule. There's still a lot ahead of you. I know that certainly you wanted to pile up some more wins in the Big Ten, but when you look at what's left, does it feel like there's potential there? I mean, certainly these last four or five games, there's a chance that you really could make some moves.
Yeah, no, I think that's our mindset. I mean, we take it one game at a time. This team's been really good at, you know, focusing on that particular day, whether that's a practice, a shoot around, a workout, a game, and kind of have that approach and staying, again, detail-oriented and focused in that way. So we'll take it one day at a time, but these guys also know that, you know, the end of the road is near, and we want to make sure, especially when you're playing well, that you can put your best foot forward to finish as strong as you possibly can. And so I think our guys are really hungry just to continue to play well. And I think when you consume yourself with, you know, the details of playing well and those habits, you know, hopefully the wins and losses take care of themselves. And, you know, right now the guys should feel good and proud of how they played. And we got to find a way to bottle that up and take it on the road Tuesday to a really, really good UCLA team and, you know, be able to bring that home with us.
Coach, we always call Minnesota the state of hockey, but I disagree. It's no longer just the state of hockey. It's the state of basketball. We have so much talent in the state of Minnesota. Is recruiting this year, is this as good a year as you've seen, or where do you rank this year's recruiting class here out of the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's always talent, and a lot of that is due to just, you know, the development that the coaches do within the state at every level, which I think is you know, some of the best in the country. And so every year, you know, there's always guys that, you know, can help or will be able to move on and play Division One. You know, we're hoping for that year when you've got the Ty Jones and the Trey Jones and the Curas and the Reed Travises. And, you know, I could go all down the line of guys. And so, you know, that's the best part about within our state is there's always going to be somebody that emerges. And so, you know, we've got a couple on our roster right now that I'm really, really high on. And I think with development and with a little bit of time, they're going to be special players. And so, you know, this state has done a good job producing them, and it's our job to try to recruit them as far as we can and keep those ones that are right for us to stay home. And hopefully they can really pan out and be some studs.
Gopher men's basketball coach Ben Johnson, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck at UCLA this week.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
No problem. Yeah, hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, grab yourself an In-N-Out burger, man.
We will. Thanks.
All right. Ben Johnson, great end of this. Great win for the program last night. You're right, Pete. It is. I don't care what's said. It cannot be easy to travel west and play those two games in the middle of the season.
Yep.
So difficult schedule, but they're making the best of it. Let's take a quick break. The Timberwolves figured out who their owners were this week. Chris Hine from the Star Tribune will join us to talk about that next.
What?
I don't know if we can play that enough.
In honor of SNL 50 tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
That is great.
That was back when SNL was still good.
Calm down.
It's not good anymore.
It's not. Anymore. It is not. Except for the news updates.
Stop yelling at the clouds.
I know. So Chris Hine joining us now from the Star Tribune writes for the covers the Timberwolves. And I know, Chris, you have been embroiled in this saga since the beginning. We find out this week, indeed, Mark Laurie and A-Rod had enough to show that they had the funding for the team. So my first question to you is, what took so long? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they had the funding, what was the last 3 months doing?
I don't know, but you know, honestly, it all doesn't matter in the end because they were abiding by the contract per the arbitration panel. You know, like they had a contract, they were sticking to it, and that's what the arbitration panel found. So none of that stuff honestly really matters in the end because Glenn Taylor, according to the panel, did not properly follow the terms of the contract in canceling the sale. So that's on him. You know, that's the question. Like, what gives, essentially? Mark and Alex ended up following the contract, and they ended up winning an arbitration a year later. So, you know, all throughout this process, we had heard they didn't have the money. They didn't have the money, you know, and at the end of the day, they were proven correct. So I don't know what people want to go back and revise that as, but, you know, they were proven right, ultimately, at the end of the day.
I'll give you my take on it, if you don't mind. I'll say this, Chris. I don't know that they did have the money, and I'll say it this way. I think the fact that they brought in Michael Bloomberg in with, I don't know, $105 billion, I think that actually helped put them over this whole thing. So, because let me ask you guys this one. Why did they miss that payment? You know, there had to have been something about that, right? I mean, how do you miss that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I think they really do. Or did Glenn just cancel it? You know, like, we don't really know what happened. That's the thing. We don't know the details yet of the arbitration panel. We don't know the nitty gritty of did they miss this deadline? Mm-hmm. Did they miss that deadline? Did they not miss these deadlines, right?
Yeah.
Their whole thing throughout this whole process was at a certain date, they had the paperwork filed and submitted to the NBA. And because of that, they were entitled to an extra 90-day deadline while the league underwent a review process of their paperwork.
Yeah.
And so that was their main contention all along. But they had their ducks in a row by March 21st was the date. They let Glenn know that. And then a few days later, Glenn's canceling the sale. And they said, whoa, hold on. We had another 3 months here.
Uh-huh.
And that was the main point of contention. And that's why the sale is now being allowed to continue.
Chris Hine joining us. Do you think that this came down to, because what the franchise was worth? Part of me wonders if Glenn Taylor thought, well, wait a second. I'm agreeing to sell it for this much. And now at the end of last season, the valuation of the franchise was so much more. Do you think that had anything to do with it in your heart of hearts? Or do you think he just, somewhere along the way here, it went back?
I don't even think we have to say in my heart of hearts, because Glenn was on the record as saying that he had a responsibility to his limited partners. And that is essentially, you know, trying to maximize the value of your asset, right? So I don't even think you have to say that that's a hidden part of what was going on here. I think it was a part of what was going on, and even Glenn himself said that. So, you know, I don't think we have to say that that wasn't a part of it. It wasn't the ultimate part of it, right?
Yeah.
But it was a part of the situation for sure.
Chris, it kind of felt like this, back to the basketball side of it, just real quick. I'd like to ask you about this one. So it almost felt like the Timberwolves were falling into a little bit of the Wild sort of a thing. They had Rudy was out, and Mike Conley was out, and Julius was out, and Dante's out. And we've had some of those injuries going on. But the guy that, you know, Dave, I have to bring the name up again, Naz Reid. Wow, has he stepped up. He seems like he's a guy who's just gotten better and better year after year with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he had his opportunity, and boy, he just always seems to answer the bell. That OKC game was unbelievable.
Yeah, this is why the fan base loves him, because you've seen his ascension from fringe G League player over the last 5 years, 6 years, to becoming this kind of guy, sixth man of the year, able to fill in the starting lineup and put up the huge stat line he did against the best defense in the NBA, by the way, in Oklahoma City the other night, with all those players out. And I think that's what you have to ultimately look at here when you look at the future of the franchise, on the court, that is, not off the court. But Anthony Edwards, this kind of young group that they have, Anthony Edwards, Naz Reid, Jaden McDaniels, and maybe some of these young guys like Dillingham, Terrence Shannon, Jalen Clark, as they mature and get better, this is your future of the Minnesota Timberwolves in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, right? This is the squad that's going to be on the floor a lot, as, you know, kind of Rudy Gobert plays out his last contract. Mike Conley, obviously, is up there in age as well. So, you know, this is the young core that the Wolves are trying to really hone in on and establish. And Naz Reid is very much a significant part of that future. And performances like that only go to show you why the organization is so excited to make sure that he is on that plane along with Ant and Jaden and some of these younger players.
Chris Hine joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, talking Timberwolves. Chris, is the franchise in better hands with Mark Laurie and A-Rod than it would have been with Glenn Taylor?
I can't say that for certain. I don't know. You know, that's something that we're just going to have to find out and see. Words mean one thing, actions mean another, right? You know, so their words are they want to be competitive. They want to bring championships to Minnesota. Well, that's going to require paying luxury tax bills, right? And your actions are going to show just how much you're willing to spend to try to bring home a championship. So that is yet to be determined. It costs a lot of money to do that. And it costs a lot of money that you're just willing to spend, you know, without return, without maybe a return on your investment. Right. So that's the big question for me as it pertains to the on-court product, especially in this window where you have Anthony Edwards as an ascending young star in the NBA. The only way you lose an ascending young star like him, who isn't going to want to chase the bright lights of a bigger market, is by not having competitive teams on the floor around him. So it is essential that they maintain a standard and a level of competitiveness out there in terms of title contention or deep playoff runs over these next 5 years while Anthony Edwards is under contract, if they want to keep him around long-term in Minnesota.
Chris, one of the concerns a lot of people had with the new ownership was, hey, these guys want to move to Las Vegas. I don't think the NBA wants that to happen, because isn't the storyline right now that the NBA wants to actually expand? They don't want people moving, but they want Seattle. They want Las Vegas. Is that right? Or do these guys have a plan somewhere within themselves that has them moving this franchise at some point?
You know, over this last 4 years that they've been aboard this process, there hasn't been any inkling. We haven't heard any whispers or any word that they were ever looking to move the team. And you're right. The NBA is looking to expand right now to Las Vegas and Seattle, and they're looking at potential expansion fees of a decent number of billions of dollars. And I don't know if you start playing a little shell game here, like, you know, people – The paranoid commenters in the Strib comment section will say, well, what if the Wolves just moved to Vegas and then another expansion team popped up in Minnesota's place? I really don't think the NBA is going to be doing that, because it's like, first of all, why? Number two, you're going to be messing with the pool of owners that you would have in Vegas and Seattle, messing with those expansion fees, and you would tick off a fan base in the meantime. And the NBA is already there's already a very ticked off fan base in Dallas right now. I don't think the NBA is going to be in the business of trying to tick off any more fan bases.
Chris Hine from the Star Tribune, thanks for joining us, buddy. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Chris.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Hine, good stuff. Yeah, I agree with him. I think, and I, Pete, I heard him on, I think it was with Jason this week, about how, and it makes the most sense, right? The league doesn't want to move teams. They want to get bigger.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree. I don't think that they're coming in to move this team. The shell game, I don't see the benefit in it. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Unless they can prove, unless Laurie and A-Rod can find a market somewhere else that's so much more profitable than Minnesota, that it makes sense to do that. But I don't see the league buying into that. I just don't.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. It's just a conversation that I just wanted to throw it out to Chris, because a lot of people have talked about this. And even
absolutely,
I heard early on, very early on, when those two approached this whole thing, which has been going on for years, that that was something that they were looking to do. And, you know, it, I understand that, but I don't think the NBA is it, and I think you're right, and I think Chris is right. The NBA is not going to allow that to happen. It doesn't make any sense from their perspective.
No, and then A-Rod and Lori would have to pay some sort of luxury tax as
sure.
well. To move, not a luxury tax, but they would have to pay out the lease, and there's a penalty there. So, interesting stuff. Are you going to watch the All-Star game this evening?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
These All-Star games, you know, these All-Pro and the All-Star game and all this stuff. It just, I love the hockey one. Of all of them, yeah. by far, hockey has them beat. I really believe that.
Okay, so if I were to put tonight's line at the points, total points, at 325, would you take the over or under?
At 325, I'd take the over.
Total,
I would take
the over.
The over? Yep. Yep.
Josh, would you take the over or under?
Both. I'll take the over. Take the over.
Jeez. He's really winning.
Take the over. I'll take the over, too. All right, everybody. Enjoy the All-Star game. Enjoy your week. I'll try to have a voice next week, I promise.
We love you, man.
I love you guys, too. Have a great Sunday, everybody. We'll be right back.